Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey Trailblazers, this is Jason, your host of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. Before we jump into our latest episode, I've got some incredible news for you. Are you gearing up for your next big hike or backpacking trip? Well, we at Trailblazing Texas podcast have partnered up with Trekker Joe's, the ultimate Texas outfitter, to bring you something I feel absolutely special. Listeners, you of the Trailblazing Texas podcast can now get a one-time 15% off their gear purchases at Trekker Joe's. That's right. Whether you're a first-time customer at Trekker Joe's or a repeat customer like me, you can save big and hit the trails well-prepared. So upon checkout, use code TTP15 to claim your 15% discount and in the process support an amazing local Texas business. So happy trails, and don't forget to tell your hiking buddies. Now on with the episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. Was it in the initial plan, or what motivated you to open up the hostel?
It wasn't in the initial plan. The building inspired the hostel. When I bought this building, Marion Outdoors was a wedding store, and upstairs was the dressing room for the wedding store. And I learned the history of the building. It was built in 1923, and upstairs was apartments with shared bathrooms. And that was the original plan for the upstairs. And this was a men's clothing store. When my wife and I looked at this building, I just, as soon as we went upstairs, I said, this could be a hostel. We could do both. And I talked to her about her list of lodging and outdoor stores. And we decided to go for it. You know, it was ambitious, but I'd won a business challenge and got a grant that way, and it helped motivate and get us to do it. So
do you still remember your first hostel guests?
Yeah. It was, again, before we even opened the hostel. I had a woman who was finishing her Triple Crown, and she happened to call and say, is there any chance I could tent in your parking lot? Or, and I had set up the bed in the private room of the hostel, but there was still like sawdust and they were still working on putting up walls. And when she got here, I was like, do you want to look upstairs and see if you're willing to sleep up there? And she said, yeah. So she stayed up there before it was even open. Probably shouldn't have allowed it, but she loved it and told people that the hostel would be opening. So
most businesses have their first dollar in a frame. So do you have a picture of her and you as the first hostel guest?
I should have. I didn't. I should have. I'm trying to remember her name. It was such a common trail name too.
Yeah.
She was so tiny, and I cannot remember what it was. Anyways, I should have gotten a picture. The first actual guests when we were open were actually section hikers. And then Sobos started coming. And I don't remember like the first actual Sobo besides that hiker who I let stay before. But it just was a whirlwind. A bunch of hikers started coming. Yeah. And we're open year round, which is a rare thing for a hiker hostel on the AT. So we do get hikers throughout the year. You know, it's definitely busier during Nobo and Sobo season, but hikers are allowed anytime.
When I was thinking about this question, I think it's important to ask, but also I think it's a hard one to answer. What role do you think hostels play in these trail communities to keep them strong and sustainable?
I know it helps Marion because it brings people downtown. When we opened, I had businesses coming and thanking me, saying, we never used to get this many hikers downtown, and they're spending money. They want to eat. They want to enjoy the town. I think it's extremely helpful to every town that has a hostel along the AT and outfitters. And it's lodging in any small town is helpful. One thing that the whole town has been asking for is more hotels, and no hotels are being built. So just having this as an option, feeding into the community, people, hikers going to a restaurant downstairs and spending money is helping out tremendously. And business owners in the area are noticing, and the marketing director, which happens to be my wife, is noticing. So, and I know it's helping every small town along the AT.
Nice. I love this question. So have you ever seen someone just walk through your doors, whether it's to buy gear, Marion Outdoors, or to the hostel, and just be completely wiped out and then leave re-motivated, refueled?
Often, yeah. So we had another thing about being 500 miles in. So I've got a hostel manager who's hiked the trail 3 times, and she can always tell when a hiker's thinking about quitting or not. And she said, this is about time when that idea starts creeping into your head. 500 miles in, it's harder than you think. You've got Virginia ahead of you, which is like a 500-mile section, and it's in your mind that you're going to quit. And usually they're in a bad mood, and they come in here in a bad mood. And by the time they leave here, they're motivated to keep going. They're happy. It's not every time. Sometimes people quit, but it happens more often than not that they come in exhausted and ready to leave the trail. And then because they decided to stay here, talk to Bunny, talk to me, talk to Ash, go eat a good meal in town, check out the museum in town, it just kind of like revitalizes them. And yeah, it's really cool to see. And they, you know, maybe they end up staying a few extra days because they really are thinking, maybe I need to get off right now. But Bunny's probably the biggest influence on, yeah, it's hard, and tells people, hikers, it's hard, but just go see how you're doing it tomorrow. I'll slack pack you tomorrow. The 10 miles from the Mount Rogers Visitor Center to the gas station. Just remind yourself why you're doing this. And while you're out there, think about what got you into backpacking and why you're actually there. Go back to the why.
So what is, if there's any one lesson that hikers have taught you through this journey and that sticks with you today?
The first thing that came to my head is the fact that the trail is kind of like a no man's land, in a way that there are so many beliefs, so many different types of people in this world. And then all those people come together on this trail, and it's as if those things don't exist anymore, where the community is one. So the fact that can happen is a big thing that I've learned from them, that a guy who has different political beliefs is best friends with a guy with completely opposite political beliefs on trail, that is possible. And how can we do that everywhere else in life? And I think it has to do with that similar goal. Like, everybody's got this goal and that's what matters. But that's the biggest takeaway I've taken from hikers and the outdoor community. It's really cool. I love that idea.
You know, you nailed that answer, and I would totally agree with you. And it amazes me that we live in a society that we're taught to hate each other, you know?
Yeah.
I've never been on trail where I met someone like everybody, it's like you said, we all have a common goal, whether it's a section hike, whether it's an overnighter, and you got lawyers and you got I have a really good friend in New Mexico, and you know, he says he's a hiker trash. He's living out of his car sometimes. And, you know, we're all just getting along and laughing, and no one talks politics or this, all this other stupid stuff. And
it doesn't matter out there.
Absolutely. Our community is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So second to last question for the Marion Outdoors part, Andrew with Trail Bush begged me to ask you this question.
Uh-oh.
He says, can you please have Coach share one funny hostel story?
Funny hostel story. The thing that comes to mind, so we have loner clothes upstairs. And it kind of became popular for us to have onesies. So we've got, Bunny has collected a bunch of funny onesies, which is just like we've got a cow one, we've got animal onesies, superhero onesies, and hikers will choose that over a t-shirt and pants, and they'll just wear onesies around town.
No.
Yeah. So restaurant owners in town know that, oh, you must be staying at the hostel because you're wearing a onesie. So you'll see random hikers dressed up like a cow or a superhero in a onesie walking up and down the street. So it's exciting. Yeah.
All right.
That's about as funny as they get. There's some scary and disturbing stories, but yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to share those.
that's another episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andrew, that question is for you, so you're welcome. Last question for the Marion Outdoors part. Step back, look at this journey, and what is one message that you would love to leave to your wife and kids?
Wow. Just in general?
Yeah. They've been with you through this whole journey, so...
Well, I know my kids want to work here when they get a little older. So, I guess just that all roads lead back to the fact that I'm doing it for them. Sure, it's for me too, but, and I couldn't do this, especially without my wife, but without the motivation from my kids. You get me all emotional here, but yeah, it's for them and will always be.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Perfect. All right. So now as we start to get into knowing you as a hiker, let's get into this. So how long have you been hiking and backpacking?
Since I was started Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts even, hiking. And so, yeah, over, how old am I now? Over 30 years.
So how old are you?
I'm 43. I turn 44 next month.
Wait till you get 50.
Yeah.
I'm 52, and man, at 50, I was like, all right. Everybody that I hike and backpack with, you know, they're in their 30s. So yeah, I'm really just struggling to keep up.
I worry about that with my body, and because I do enjoy hiking in places that are difficult. And I know it's probably not great for my body doing it as hard as I do and pushing myself. But I'm a big fan of type 2 fun. So I search out those hard trails. And I also do a lot of bike packing. And when I'm by myself, I'm doing 150 miles in a day. And it's crazy what I do to my body. But that's a part of the fun for me.
And it's amazing how you forget about it. So probably one of the hardest hikes that I've done is called the Quad Quad. So you go up highest peak in Texas, come off trail, and then you just navigate through these massive canyons to three other peaks. My mind has literally blocked that out because I know how it had to have been so hard, but yeah, I'm ready to do it again. Or, you know, like somebody go, hey, let's do the Quad Quad. I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. And
the Art Loeb Trail I just did this summer is 9,000 feet of elevation, you know, within 30 miles. And I'm right. I want to do it the opposite direction now, but when I really think about it, I think about those, you know, 2,000 foot of elevation, 1 mile hike within the 9,000 feet. It's, but I love that stuff. Yeah. I went with a group that time and I was actually, I'm usually the one that's the most fit, but this time I was probably third out of the fourth, out of the four hikers that went. So I was struggling a little bit, but I want to do it again, over and over again.
So if you look back, you know, as a young kid, you were in the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and those things. And so it's kind of part of your, the you know, part of that program. So, but what has inspired you to keep hiking and backpacking and really just challenging yourself?
So when I was a kid, I was overweight. I was about 300 pounds in high school. And I remember this summer, I think I was 15. I was working at a theater, but right across the street, there was the Carl Sandburg home with hiking trails on it. And I remember there's a hike called the Big Up to Big Glassy. It's a big rock overlook. And I was working in the concession stand at the theater. So during the plays, there was nothing to do. And I would go over and I would go outside and hike. And that summer, I lost like 20 pounds. So that was part of the motivation, is that it was helping me become healthier. And it gave me hope that I could be healthier by doing that. And then it became, I just need to get away. So going to school for theater, being around, I'm also very much an introvert, surprisingly, I guess. I like to be by myself. Yeah, I need time by myself. And the woods kind of like automatically relieves this, I guess, anxiety I get from being around people all the time and being on. And so that helped motivate me through college of, okay, I've got the weekend off. I don't want to hang out with friends. I don't want to party. I'm going to go into the woods and backpack all weekend. So I started finding stress relief in it. And I knew it was helping me because I'd come back refreshed and more willing to work hard in school. So it's been kind of a mixture of that, like fitness and stress relief. And knowing that it's good for my mind and my soul and my body. That's what's kept me going over the years. And most recently, it's gear is a lot a part of it. Like I'm excited to try out something new. And that's been motivating me recently because it's been, you know, I want to spend more time with my kids and I know going away doesn't help my wife out much. So having the motive, but I also know I need to test out gear for my job. Yeah. So that's also been motivating, but I think just, I understand how good it is for my livelihood. that's motivated me throughout most of my life.
When you have these trips, do you find yourself, is it most of the time just you with family or with friends?
Most of the time it's just me.
Yeah.
I get to go with friends probably two or three times a year, but it's hard to get people to get some time off work or be as motivated as I am. So I really enjoy going by myself. So I do end up pushing myself a little bit harder than I would with friends. But again, I go by myself and I love it. It's usually to the same places. I'll pick different trails within those places because I don't want to go too far away if I only get a night or two. So, but it's all the same. You know, it's funny, I bring camera equipment to film a video and I'll start hiking and I'll pull it out and I remember that this is work. I'm not here to work. And I'll put it in my backpack and I end up carrying it the whole time and never using it.
Yep, same here.
And just enjoying the moment. So, yeah.
Nice.
I don't know if that answers the question, but.
Absolutely. So what is your favorite state or national park and why?
There's just so many. I love Western North Carolina because I grew up there. Pisgah National Forest is kind of where I spent my childhood backpacking, hiking, and camping. So I'm going to say that area. I've got an affinity for that place because it's kind of the roots of where everything started. We're going to say that. Although I just went to Arches National Park and went out west, and it's all amazing, you know.
No, it's funny you say that. The comment you just made, it's where the roots of all this started. And I feel the same way. Like, I only got into hiking, backpacking about 9 or 10 years ago. And it was funny. My wife and I were driving to New Mexico. And, you know, here in Texas, you can drive 12 hours and still be in Texas.
Yeah.
So we're going down Interstate 10, and I see a sign, and it said Guadalupe Mountains. And, you know, we're heading kind of a different way to New Mexico because there was a blizzard coming in. So we were trying to dodge it or go around it. I started laughing. I'm like, Guadalupe Mountains? I go, there's no mountains in Texas. What the heck? And she was driving, and I started researching it. And I'm like, there are 9 of the highest peaks in Texas are in this national park, and they're all over 8,000 feet. 4 of them are not even trailed. And so I was like, oh, honey, we got to come back during spring break. So this was December, come back in spring break and let's just do it. And that is my heaven on earth. It's my favorite place. You could right now and say, Jason, Marion Outdoors is going to sponsor the next 100 adventures that you have. And I guarantee you 99 of them would be to Guadalupe Mountains. I've just finished, I think, my 25th visit there. It's a 10-hour drive, and I'll drive on a Thursday night, get there Friday, and then drive back Sunday. That place.
What's the closest airport? I need to come visit.
Don't tease me. Don't tease me. Probably El Paso. It's about an hour away. Nice. Yeah. Don't tease me. Or you could just come into Houston and we'll just road trip it.
Well, my wife went to school in Houston, so we're definitely considering a visit at some point.
Oh, state parks, man, just let me know. You know, if you guys are hiking, I'll let you know all the great state parks. And if you want to make a road trip to Guads, I'll tell you all the trails. I'll join you. I'll probably jump in the trunk.
Perfect.
I love that place. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to just link it back to that's the roots. Like, that's where this journey started. And the love I have for that park is really insane, you know? So it's really funny that when you said that, it just dawned on me, like, that's the reason. Cause everybody asked me, why do you love that park so much? Like, I even have the west facing ridgeline tattooed. All right. So what is your favorite trail and why?
It's always the last one I've done usually. So right now, the Artlobe Trail, it might be a boring answer, but that trail, because it was difficult, because I had some of my best friends with me, because it changes every couple of miles, the environment, the ecosystem, the views, because we spent, you know, all day in the rain, hiking it one day. I'd say right now it's the Artlobe.
So can you share one of your most memorable hiking experiences? Is there anything that just stands out?
That one's tough. There are a ton. I mean, just thinking about my childhood and when I started going with my school backpack and everything. So one of the first trails that we found, me and my best friend, we call it the Wineholds. It's the name of the people who own the property. And my friend found a popped balloon in his yard, and it had an address and a phone number. And it said, give us a call. And he gave it to his dad, and they called and said, yeah, we have this beautiful property. We want people to enjoy it. So we went out there and explored this property, had a lake on it, had a bunch of trails. It was perfect for backpacking, and it was safe. You know, nobody really knew about it. Yeah. So I mean, I have the spot tattooed on my chest at the Weinholz nice. Property where we would hike in 2 to 3 miles and camp, set up next to the lake. That was our, we probably did that for 3 summers in a row, backpacked there over 100 times. Like that was our spot. So that's probably the most memorable for me, even though there's thousands since, but I'll never forget that area. Cause then it sold and I think they've turned it into a golf course now.
Aye.
Yeah.
God. Wow.
No fun.
I think for me, you know, I think I can certainly say every time that I've taken somebody to the quads and then you're driving down in the desert and all of a sudden it's just El Capitan, the rock face is just right there. So for my 4 kids on their 16th birthday, they didn't have a choice. I said, I'm taking you hiking. We're going to do the highest peak in Texas. You know, we're not going to have a special 16-year-old birthday party. I'm going to buy you a tent and a backpack. You're going to figure out what clothes you need to pack. You're going to figure out your snacks, your food. And in my mind, I'm going to hike the crap out of you because, you know, life, right? Life is tough. And I want you to understand that as a parent, I'm going to be here to support you, but I'm not going to do stuff for you. You know, we would start at 3, 4 in the morning, get up there, get to the peak right at sunrise and just see their face.
Hmm.
First off, for them to go, this is Texas. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then also just to witness them experiencing this for the very first time is probably, I mean, it's like.
But also developing the love for it too. Yeah, I get that. Seeing my kids outdoors, I get that. I do have one more little story I forgot.
Yeah.
So I dated a through hiker many years ago. I was living in Asheville. She had just finished hiking the Pacific Crest Trail and she wanted to take me backpacking. We went backpacking. I remember the trail was a red blaze. And so we hiked probably about 10 miles the first day and another 5 miles in the second day, but we got lost. So it turns out that orange and red blazes are very similar when you're not really looking out for them. So we went on this orange blaze trail and then that took us off into some place we had never been before. So we got so lost that we ended up having to call the fire department to come find us. It was embarrassing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That was near Pisgah somewhere. It's embarrassing to talk about, but yeah, especially I'm there with a thru hiker who's supposed to be taking me on this backpacking trip and we got lost. So
hey, it happens, right?
It happens. It was an experience.
So what's been your most difficult hike or backpacking trip?
Hate to say it again, but Art Loeb Trail. When I think about difficult, I also think about bikepacking.
Yeah.
Trans-Virginia route from DC to Damascus. I only had 5 days to do 570 miles.
Oh.
And it ended up being a lot harder than I expected. So that was considered one of my most difficult, but we'll stick with the Art Loeb Trail right now because that's the most recent.
If any of our listeners are heading up to Virginia and maybe some areas that are local to you, are there any areas that they should stop, like breathtaking views or?
Oh, yeah. Some of the best in the area. So we've got White Top, Mount Rogers, and Grayson Highlands. You can drive up to White Top if you just want a simple, you know, drive up and look at a beautiful view. It's 360 view at, what's it called? Buzzard Rock. Gorgeous. And of course, Grayson Highlands is, you know, you're hiking on a bunch of balds, beautiful views. Same with, I mean, Mount Rogers Peak is not a view, but it's an interesting ecosystem. But just below it, it's just an amazing area to experience. And I always suggest people go there. There's a great loop hike called the Mount Rogers Loop. You can do 20, 30, 15 miles, depending on which trails you use, which shortcuts. You'll get wild ponies, views, woods, balds, everything you need in hiking. And also, just north of us is the Triple Crown of Virginia, which is Dragon's Tooth, Tinker Cliffs, and McAfee Knob. Three amazing views as well. So come to this area and I'll send you on some amazing loop hikes with everything you need. Yeah.
So you don't have to give locations, but just through your hiking and backpacking journey, have you ever just came across or discovered any like hidden gems or secret spots that maybe not that you are the only person that know about, but it's not widely known?
Yeah. Especially in Pisgah, because I got to explore that a lot. There's a waterfall that we found that not many people know about, because it takes traversing a stream of rocks and climbing up. It's pretty dangerous to get up there, but it has a little swimming hole, probably about a 20-foot waterfall. It's gorgeous. And what's funny is I've tried to find it again and I've had difficult doing it. So it's almost a secret to me now, because it's been so long since I've been back. I'm like, wait, where were we? What trail was that? Funny story there, that same thru hiker took me there. And when we first started climbing up to get to it, there happened to be two naked people enjoying themselves at this waterfall when we first arrived.
So it's a romantic spot.
Romantic spot, indeed. They were enjoying themselves pretty loudly as well. Yeah, that's another funny story. Yeah, so many stories. But
jeez. And that's actually the next question, was any funny or unexpected moments?
that would be it. Yeah. And they didn't see us. I don't think they could see any more than what was right in front of them, but loud, very naked, and enjoying every second of it. Yeah.
Oh gosh. So Guadalupe Mountains, there's a B-24 plane crash. It's in one of the canyons, and it took me about 2.5 years to find it. I went two trips with my son. I know we were there, but there was a cliff that I wasn't expecting, and you're bushwhacking and almost went off the cliff. And I'm like, all right, I'm turning around, because, he was there and I didn't want to, if something happened to me, he's up on this ridge and having to get him to go with help. But it's funny now, I know where it's at. I found it on the third trip. And so I asked him, like, hey, Connor, you want to go with me to go find that plane that we didn't find? And for, two trips. And he's like, heck no, don't ever ask me again. But there's a spot. It's the gentleman's name is Jose Maria Ponceco, and he was a Mexican Apache. He was killed in between February 2nd and February 7th in 1855. And there was a little restaurant, my favorite restaurant in the world, called Mom Kitchen Express in Van Horn, Texas. And I met the owner. So the grandfather is the busboy and the bringing you the food, the waiter, and then the grandmother's cooking. And so over the years, me and Mr. Espinosa, we developed a relationship. I would come in, he would go, some of your hikers that saw a post about the restaurant came through, thank you. And we would talk about all of the historical parts out there in West Texas. And he would always talk to me about a grave. And so I took me about 2.5 years, off and on, but I finally found it. It's right off the highway and it still has the writing, scratching in. I don't like to share that spot because I want people to earn it. And I think if you spend the time to research and earn it, or, you show me like, hey, I've done all this stuff, you're going to respect it more. So when I go out to Guads now, it's right before you get into the park. It's a tradition probably for the last 10 trips. On the way to the park, I'll stop, start picking up trash around the grave, because, people throw trash because it's a highway right above where his grave is. Pick up trash and I just go hang out with Jose. And so he doesn't talk back, but I talk to him, it's amazing. when you get out and explore all the things that you can uncover, right?
Yeah.
And these places are like in your heart because you've worked so hard to get to them, or, you know, it's kind of cool that not a lot of people know about it. So it's like a special society or club. Mm-hmm. So outside of, I'm going to change this question up because we had you getting lost and then the romance falls. Is there any moments that stick to you when you've been hiking or backpacking with your kids or your wife that mean a lot to you?
Yeah. One year, my wife and I went backpacking. It was our anniversary. And it was supposed to be a beautiful weekend. And we were doing 2 nights, 3 days. And we get to camp the first night, and all of a sudden the temperatures drop. And it starts to snow.
Oh.
And so we get in our tent. We stayed warm enough. The mm-hmm. next morning, it's sleeting.
Aye.
All of a sudden. And then rain in the afternoon. But there's something about going with your partner and working together through that difficulty, especially on our anniversary. It just reminds, like, why you're together and why you're doing, and the fact that she loved every second of it as well. We went, I remember that was actually before we knew Marion. It was back when I was working at the theater.
Yeah.
And we were coming off trail and let's go get a drink. Let's find a brewery. We called and found out that the brewery in Marion was open. And we came here and had a beer together.
Really?
And it happens to be right across the street from my store. Yeah. And this was probably 7 or 8 years before opening.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. I had something. And it's funny that you also bring this up, you know, the bond that you have with, your spouse, your partner. And so when I turned 50 2 years ago, my wife asked me, like, what do you want to do for your 50th birthday? I don't want to have a bunch of people over or probably big parties or any of that stuff. I said, but I have planned just like a bucket list thing. I want to do 18 state parks. And, you know, I think we can do it in about 7 or 8 days. So, you know, we went on this journey. We got, I think, 15 or 16 done.
Wow.
And she supported it. She may not admit it, but, you know, she smiled a couple times and had a good time. And it only cost me, I think, it was 2 hotels and like 4 wineries. But yeah, she was,
there you go.
It was quite an adventure. And, you know, of course, Texas is so big. So we went west and then all the way up into the panhandle and came back down. So yeah, it was a pretty special moment. So that's fun. This is a funny question, and I'm going to give an example. So what are some common misconceptions about hiking that you would officially like to debunk on the Trailblazing Texas podcast? And while you're thinking, mine is, for hikers, very seldom do you have to have a hiking boot.
That's what first came to my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I took it.
No, that's okay. That's a tough one. I mean, I feel like I've done so many videos on this topic and I can't think of one right now. I mean, that you need expensive gear.
Yeah, I love it.
That's the biggest one. You don't need the best. Just go for the experience, not for the gear. That just because an influencer says it or your friend says it means that it'll work for you. Do what works for you, not just because it's popular. I think that's all I can come with it right now. So,
and also to the listeners, let the influencers live in this fantasy world. Let them buy all the expensive gear and then you just rebuy it on Facebook Marketplace
or, there you go.
I
even suggest that. No, yeah. What I can't get off on all my videos is I have 60 seconds to get this idea across, and I want to get your attention. And I wish I could say it in every video, but do what works for you. Just because I say it doesn't mean you have to do it. If I could just say that in every video, that'd be great, but I can't. So I usually end up saying that in the comments often, like replying, that's great. Do what works for you, you know?
Yeah. So you have tons of videos of what you carry in your packs, your day packs, your backpacks for overnighters. But just what are some, just highlight some of the main things that you carry in your pack, like the top two or three that you will never go without.
Well, lately it's been different every time, but tent wise right now, my favorite tent would be the XMID Pro 1, which is close second would be the X-Dome 1 Plus. I think I haven't taken the same pack backpacking in the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. Every time it's a different backpack, because I'm still looking for the right backpack.
Right.
I've loved a lot of what I've tried, but it's also my job to try a bunch. There's honestly nothing worth when it comes to gear. It doesn't matter as long as I'm out there. So there's nothing where I like, I have to have that.
No.
As long as I have everything I need. But so like my Sambob Alpha Direct hoodie, I'm going to take that with me every time right now. And that may change next year. I think I've just gotten to the point where gear doesn't matter anymore, even though it matters to my job. Maybe it's because I'm around it all the time. I would go with my high school backpack again with everything attached to the back if I get to go.
Yeah, nice.
So, oh, and bidet I will never not go without.
You sold me on that bidet, and everybody that's a non-hiker backpacker think I'm crazy. And man, I have a little, you know, bottle that I take that I hook it all up on. But I like, that's when people come over, I show them and they're like, there's no way I'm using it. And once I started the portable, we ordered ones for the normal house.
Yeah. And I use them at my house. I will not. I even like, if I go to a hotel, I've got another one that I take.
Yep.
I'm not. Yeah. It's changed my life.
You changed my life.
All right.
So have you ever been in a situation, where you needed a piece of gear and you forgot to pack it or didn't have it?
I mean, not so. I've broken a trekking pole when I needed one, but I just found a stick that was the right height. I often leave my Garmin tracker, but I end up not really needing it.
Yeah.
So I've never been in a situation where it was dangerous.
Yeah.
Luckily, I've got my checklist. I'm so worried about doing that. I think I overthink it a little bit and make sure I don't.
Yeah.
And if I've left the Garmin, it's probably in the car. Like I probably grabbed it to put on my pack, but put it down for a second and then closed the door and locked it and walked away.
Yep.
So yeah, there's nothing that's been there. There's been times when my water filter has failed and I've risked drinking, you know, found a stream that seemed safe, you know, and I've never had issues, but I've never forgotten something and been in trouble.
Hmm. So as we start to wrap up the last three questions, and these are tradition, Coach.
Okay.
Almost every episode I end with these. I added one to the very last question, is a new one. But what is one piece of gear that you would recommend to a new hiker backpacker?
Huh. One piece of gear that I would recommend. There's just so much. Your friend's tent, your friend's somebody, a borrowed tent. That's what I would recommend. Something borrowed. Borrow something and try it out to a new backpacker.
Nice.
That's my recommendation.
Yep. Mine is the Trekker Joe water bottle sleeve holder.
Oh, of course. That's a great answer. I don't leave home without it.
Yeah. And that thing, no piece of gear has really changed the way I hike and backpack with that thing. And that would be mine.
Yeah.
So I think two great answers for that question to the listeners. Next question, same question, but it has to do with safety advice. So what is one piece of safety advice that you would give to someone that wants to get into our lifestyle, hiking and backpacking?
Make sure you tell someone where you're going. And they know where you're camping that night if you can. If you're a beginner and you have a Garmin, good job, first of all. Mm-hmm. Yep. But send them a text, let them know you made it to camp, and yeah, give someone your itinerary before you leave.
And guess how much that cost? Zero.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a Garmin inReach by accident. So when we were doing the quad, we left about 3 a.m, got back about 9 o'clock at night. And of course, there's not a lot of cell service in the quads. It's gotten better, but I walked up to the park visitor center, caught a signal, and man, the text from my wife and my mom, they were about to call the Rangers. And when I got home, I had a Garmin GPS.
That's funny. Yep. It usually takes that happening for someone to spend the money.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth having, but it's amazing how often I forget it. Sometimes on purpose.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, you got to be careful what you post. I was hitchhiking. The only trail in the quads that broke me was the El Capitan Trail. So it's no elevation hardly at all. But it goes around the front facing El Cap, and there's a really neat house that was built in like 1907 out there, and you're out in the middle of the desert. But I just got into it, or we all got into it thinking, oh, it's going to be easy. But we started a little bit late, got to camp at night, and we were broken. Like, it destroyed us. And my friend Sam, who's hiked the PCT, and you know, he's hitchhiked all the time. And I'm like, guys, I'm not hiking back on this trail. I go, who wants to just hike with me 10 miles to the highway and just hitchhike back to the campsite? And they're like, yeah, we're not hiking back either. So we went, hitchhiked. I made a post, you know, that we're in the back of this truck. And my wife's like, what are you doing? Why are you in the truck? And I'm like, oh, we're hitchhiking. But that was not the right answer to say.
No.
All right. Last question. If you could leave one message pinned on a trailhead or a trail marker for hikers decades from now to see, what would it say?
Don't forget to look up.
Yeah. Love it.
I fall for that all the time. I find myself like digging in and just staring at the ground, worried about rocks I'm going to step on. That I forget to stop and just take it in. Take it in. Don't forget to look up. That's the idea. Not sure the exact words I'd use, but something like that.
All right. Well, I've been waiting for this moment for a while. So
hopefully I didn't disappoint.
No, absolutely. But this right here, I cannot end this episode without the famous last words from Coach. It's what you have in your videos. So
let me say it.
Lay it on us, please.
Trek it up.
Yes.
What? Yeah. That was an accident, by the way.
Yeah.
I was just improvising and it came out. That's why the what comes, like, what did I just say? Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
And now it's set in stone. Trek it up. I thought about starting a Trek It Up podcast. So.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
We'll should.
See what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you. You are a man of many hats, and I know you're busy, and I can't thank you enough. I think it's really dumb for me to try to put it in words of how appreciative I am. But again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast, and I will release you to enjoy your day. And I hope to the listeners, especially the first part of this podcast, this wasn't planned. I woke up this morning and, I mean, the podcast was planned, but this the intro of really how I feel about Marion Outdoors and why I wanted them on the podcast, and also the opportunity that we all have to support small business, support local communities, to support families. And I just really wish and hope that you take this call to action and, you know, give these companies that have come on the podcast a chance, look at their gear and support them, because they do a lot for our community. There's a lot of responsibility on their shoulders, and they just keep waking up every morning and doing what they need to do to support our community. And I know we do support it, but let's support it more. So
awesome. I love that. Thank you so much. It's actually good timing. A TikTok fan just walked in the store. So,
Oh yeah.
I just got a text from my employees. So I'm going to go help them out. Yeah.
You have a wonderful rest of your day, Coach.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me on.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode, where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.